Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Now, plenty of stories happening around the country this week that just didn't quite make the national headlines. Breakfast Briefing presenter Shane Beattie is with me in studio to tell us all about them. How are you?
Hello, I'm very well.
How are you? Yeah, end of another week.
Yes, can't wait to come and sunbathe in this gorgeous
lashing rain.
It's awful.
Is it staying for the weekend?
No, it's getting better. Now, there's talk of...
Isn't there a heat wave next week?
Well, Carlo Weathers, Alan O'Reilly says, don't believe all the headlines. But it's starting to get warmer and drier, so we'll take that.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us about this story in Cork.
Oh, such a fabulous story of comfort in grief. So it's in the Irish Examiner this week, and we just had to highlight it because it's the first I've heard of these, which is St. Catherine's Cemetery Walking Club, which is a walking club in a cemetery where people who are grieving do laps of the cemetery and talk about their experiences. And it's such a lovely idea. The initiative was started by one man, Dennis Murphy, and then some of his friends got involved. They became regulars at St. Catherine's Cemetery, and Dennis invited them to do a lap of the graveyard with him. And it's now grown from there and has dozens of members. So as I say, a group of people who do laps of the graveyard and talk about grief and talk about life. They're united by the loss of their partners, or maybe some have lost their children, and the men found friendship and support in their regular walks around the cemetery. And of course the group is always getting new members as more people are buried. But during the interview with the Examiner, a robin perched on a nearby headstone and eavesdropped. And what some of the men were saying was that many Irish people still believe that robins carry messages from the dead to the living. So just a real story of comfort. Some of the members say for a long time they couldn't talk about the loss of their loved ones, but now they can because of this walking club. And the piece ends by saying the afternoon is drawing to a close at St. Catherine's Cemetery. Tomorrow they'll do it all again, knowing that the grieving process never truly ends. It might be too much to bear were it not for the support and camaraderie of St. Catherine's Walking Club. So a gorgeous initiative.
Nice little initiative, yeah, definitely.
Just kidding.
That's a song about aging, because we're talking about Ireland's oldest person.
Woman.
Who's a woman, and we have some tips and tricks on a long and healthy life. So this is Sarah Coyle, who will turn 109 in July.
109 years of age.
Yes, so she's known as Ireland's oldest known living person that we know of. And certainly at 109, you're right up there with the most old in the country. And she credits her long life to a traditional Irish remedy. So if you want a long life, listen up. So you use new nettles in your food, particularly in your cabbage. So every spring into summer, there are new nettles. I got stung by one the other day when I was trying to rob a bluebell. And what Sarah does is she puts them into the pot with her cabbage, and she believes this is the secret of her long life because it purifies the blood. Not sure I want to give it a try.
No.
It depends how much you want to live a long
life. Nettle soup is a big thing, isn't it?
It is, and apparently very good for you. Yeah, I've seen that on some travel shows as well. So she says it purifies the blood. Now, as well as that, if you want to live to 109, some other tips from Sarah. She emphasises a strong connection to family and the importance of staying active in her later years. And she attributes her longevity to a blend of healthy eating, strong family bonds, and resilience. So they're her tips. I don't also see alcohol mentioned, so maybe that's the secret. She's not saying have a whiskey every day or anything like that.
Fair play to her.
Yep.
Yeah, incredible. 109 years of age. Tell us about this stone throwing fad in Ireland.
It's a frightening story happening in Limerick, and I'm sure not the only place around the country. A disturbing trend which has seen a rise in stone throwing incidents, with young people throwing stones at passing vehicles from bridges.
Oh God.
And now they think they've worked out why it's happening. So the dangerous behaviour may be inspired by viral TikTok videos. Everything can be blamed on TikTok these days, it feels like, doesn't it? It features individuals. So on TikTok, people are going viral by dropping heavy tools like spanners from high places to try and film dramatic reactions from people below. Very warped sense of fun. And now they reckon this has trickled down to Ireland, where we're having stones thrown from bridges at passing vehicles. And as you say, because the videos are so popular online, it's encouraging others to replicate the acts. Now, local authorities in Limerick say it's a growing concern. Gardaí are investigating multiple incidents, and they're urging parents to supervise their children's online activities. And of course, for some of these these young people, they may not realise how dangerous it is. They might just think it's a bit of crack throwing a stone without realising, I mean, you could cause a crash.
Gosh, if you're driving, you'd be completely distracted. Yeah, there's no question about it.
And damage to vehicles as well. There was one notable incident in Askeaton in Limerick where a Garda was allegedly targeted during Halloween. So now local authorities in Limerick are calling for a stronger response, enhanced monitoring of social media and more community outreach, and really keep an eye on what your kids are looking at on TikTok.
Absolutely. If you're a Kerry football fan,
was Kerry here and Kerry there and Kerry Kerry everywhere.
So yes, if you're a Kerry fan or if you're in the market for some sporting memorabilia, well, there's a significant piece of Irish sporting history about to be auctioned. It's the first ever All-Ireland football medal awarded to the Kerry team in 1887. And the medal was awarded after Kerry beat Louth in the inaugural All-Ireland football final. However, the reason why this is worth so much money, the medals weren't actually presented to the winning players until 1910. So they won it in 1887, but they didn't have the medals ready until 1910, which makes the medals rare and obviously historically significant.
Absolutely.
It's a 9-carat gold medal. I don't feel to give them anymore. So a 9-carat gold medal is being auctioned by a private collector. How much do you think it'll go for?
I wouldn't have a clue. $5,000?
Oh, you're not far off. You'd know your antiques, of course. They reckon it'll go for €7,000.
Wow.
That's what the value is.
Well, I would have thought, you know, like, God, to have a, you know, an All-Ireland medal, but to have Kerry football's first All-Ireland medal, I would have thought that somebody with either a connection of a family or even, you know, one of the players' original football clubs might want. That's the kind of thing you'd cherish and you'd want to keep, I would have thought.
Well, the auction's taking place in Kilkenny. A private collector has it, so it doesn't seem like there's strong Kerry links to the medal, and it's expected that the medal will generate significant interest from collectors and sports enthusiasts. Mm. Maybe some wealthy Kerry fans might club together to buy it as well.
Very good. Finally,
can't seem to find my way home.
Well, we have a football that can't seem to find its way home. This is turning into this is like off the ball here, being you. All our sports
and two very fitting sports presenters, all right, as well.
Tell you, watch out, John Duggan. Yeah, we're going to Wales for our final story because an Anglesey family in Wales were surprised to find a football washed up 80 miles from its home.
Stop.
On the other side.
So how did they know where the ball was from?
I'll tell you in a minute. So they were surprised to find it on the other side of the Irish Sea. So we have 12-year-old, apologies now for my Welsh pronunciation.
That's okay.
12-year-old Caelan. We'll call him Caelan, was searching for driftwood on his local beach in Portinant, some beach in Wales, with his father Andrew when they made the discovery between some rocks on Easter Sunday. And then they went to look at the ball and they say they were shocked to see that emblazoned on the side was Finglas United Under 12s, which is obviously a team based in Dublin. So Andrew, the dad, said a Google search later, we found out where Finglas was based and we saw it belonged to a team in Dublin. We were quite shocked, not what they expected. And he says, I wouldn't like to think how long it had been in the sea. They say they have found ropes and things like that washed up before, but never a football. So we don't know how it ended up in the Irish Sea, but the ball is quite battered. Mm. But they did have a kickabout with it, so the ball wasn't that battered.
Ah, they should keep it.
Now, Finglas says, I love this bit, so Finglas under nines won at a youth tournament in Blackpool over Easter weekend, but the joke is that the under 12s team might need a bit more practice if the ball is ending up in the sea. Apparently it's had a huge response on Facebook, and the club, obviously it's a bit too battered for the club to use, but they would like get it back to Finglas.
They should, absolutely. Yeah. Shane Beattie, listen, any plans for the weekend?
No, nothing major. Have you got anything on?
It's going to be quiet. I'm looking, you know, I was at home last weekend. I'll probably go home for the bank holiday next weekend, so I think I'll lie low.
Oh, I have Punchestown next week and the bank holiday. No, don't. I'm not spending any money this weekend. Yeah. That's my plan.
All right. Shane Beattie, we'll hear from you Monday morning, 6 o'clock breakfast briefing. Thanks a million for joining us on Lunchtime Live.
Have a lovely weekend.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.